Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Listen for God's word to you today. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, quiet our hearts and minds and bodies so that we might be present to hear your word to us today. Startle us anew with the message of your deep, abiding love for each and every one of us. Be now with the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yet so often I find that I do. I want healing for those who are sick. I want peace to flourish in the world and in our homes. I want basic resources to be more widely dispersed so that no one is hungry or homeless. I want addictions to heal for those caught in their grip and safety for their loved ones. I want the church to always, without fail, be a sanctuary for hurting souls and a place where joy is shared. Those are only a few of my wants. I don't know about you, but at times my wants can seem endless. And yet this beloved psalm tells me that if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The language "shall not" reminded me of our Presbyterian Book of Order. We Presbyterians are rule-abiding people, and our Book of Order outlines what we should do in every single circumstance. Occasionally, there's a little bit of gray space woven in for the Spirit to move based on particular conditions or local understandings. But when our book says you shall not, it means you must not, under any circumstances, do whatever is being outlined. I bring this all up somewhat tongue-in-cheek because, of course, the Book of Order is not meant to interpret Psalm 23. It's just where my mind went when I meditated on the phrase "shall not." I shall not want for anything if the Lord is my shepherd. Likely, I'm missing the point here. The late biblical scholar Eugene Peterson wrote a contemporary version of the Bible, and in his language, the beginning of Psalm 23 reads, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing." As much as I love the King James Version that we often memorized, that phrasing helps me considerably. Being asked to distinguish between my wants and my needs, with God as our shepherd, our needs, not necessarily our wants, are filled. The next verse is noteworthy. "He maketh me to lie down." Maybe that is the only way stubborn human beings will get their needs tended to, by force. It's not uncommon to find ourselves knocked to the ground when we lose our perspective on wants versus needs. If we can't find a proper balance with all that we juggle, And a good old cold will do the trick. No better time to focus clearly on our needs than when we have no energy to do anything else. And yet that forceful, domineering image doesn't fit the tranquility of those beloved words. It is the peacefulness, the ease and trust conveyed in Psalm 23 that I believe has made it capture such a prominent place in the hearts of so many. Psalm 23 invites us into the simplicity of life. With it, we are brought close to our basic needs: green pastures, still waters, the right path, a meal, goodness. As Episcopalian priest Rick Morley points out, the cup runneth over, but not with rock concert tickets, golf clubs, and objects of luxury. The cup runneth over with everyday, mundane things, the basics, the simple life. Psalm 23 speaks from a place of mature faith. No squabbling over wants or needs, no pointing out that goodness and mercy follows no one I know all the days of our lives. So the psalmist here has lived a while and doesn't need to dissect life to such a degree. This is not to say that life as we know it is glossed over. The harsh ways of the world are acknowledged in this psalm. There is evil, and we do have enemies. Inner ones like loneliness and self-criticism, at least as often as external ones. Life is far from simple, and troubles confront us without fail. In fact, as some of you may be able to attest, they seem to get more complex the longer we live. I have a book I love called The Lesson, A Fable for Our Times by Carol Lynn Pearson. In it, we meet Robert on his first day of kindergarten. A bright, engaged child, he quickly grasps his math problems and feels excited when his teacher lets them know that they will be starting to learn story problems next. The book follows him as he graduates from grade to grade. Robert, if you are outside playing and you have three cars and one truck, and Joey comes along and grabs two cars and a truck, how many times should you hit Joey? Robert, if you ride your bicycle two blocks east and three blocks north and you fall off and break one leg, is it your fault or the sidewalk's fault or your parents' fault because they gave you the bicycle last August for your birthday? And do you ever ride your bicycle again? And what do you do while lying in bed when you can't go out to play? Robert, if your family moved to a small house in a big city and you had to leave behind two aquariums and one dog and your best friend. Robert, if you had seven dates with one girl and fell in love with her, and 4 months later you asked her to marry you and she said no. Robert, if you had three children and one of them was born with a birth defect that added to your sorrows because it subtracted from her possibilities and divided your attention and multiplied the problems of caring for your family. No, life isn't easy, and the problems don't stop coming. And yet in the midst of evil and enemies, with a calm confidence, Psalm 23 makes it known that God is far bigger than anything life can throw at us. It conveys unwavering trust in the God who will shepherd us through everything. In today's passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd, that he lays down his life for his sheep. And they're not just the ones here. He says that he has sheep who don't belong to this fold, and they no more are no less a part of his flock. And then he offers some really great theology. He says, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." This is a shepherd with authority. Jesus wasn't sent to the cross by some abuse-accepting Father God. He didn't seek to save our souls out of obligation or coercion. He chose to do it. He chose to do it out of his love for each and every one of us. That is a good shepherd and one who can be trusted. This is the God who the psalmist gives testimony to in Psalm 23, the one who provides for our every need, the one who restores our souls. This good shepherd who goes into the valleys with us and leads us through them, never leaving us with our enemies without the sustenance to face them. And so when we graft these words of comfort into our beings, even the shadow of death can't rattle our cage. The presence of our enemies won't steal our appetite. Living into this way of seeing and being, we are reminded that goodness and mercy do follow us, or as Eugene Peterson translated, God's beauty and love do chase after us. I was talking with a colleague recently who was reflecting on some time when he served as a chaplain. He'd been called to the bedside of a dying man, and as chaplain types are wont to do, he asked the family if there was any particular scripture or spiritual practice that would be comforting to this man. Not surprisingly, the 23rd Psalm was mentioned, and with little delay, the wife in this Jewish family began to recite it in Hebrew. And her husband, the dying man, who had been unconscious for days and never fully recovered from that state, nonetheless began reciting it with her. It was so woven into the fabric of his being that he was able to speak it, even when he could say or do nothing else. Maybe this is why so many of us were taught to memorize it as children, why nearly every funeral includes it, why it is often found in cross stitch, lovingly made by our grandmothers and thus adorned on the walls of our homes. Because when we embed it deeply into our souls, the salve of its message seeps in, and we are forever soothed. Thanks be to God.